Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning, studying another portion of God's Word. It's good to have the visitors here. We welcome you. Hope you enjoy the services and come back as often as the opportunity presents itself. This morning, I'd like to speak for a short time on a subject that is relative to those that are of in good stature, especially in the eyes of the Lord. I wish to speak on Bible crowns this morning for a short time. My text comes from Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This morning, as with every day, we must always ask ourselves questions about ourselves. When we speak to ourselves in private or about our busy day, it's always good and wise for a Christian to examine himself, not just here on the Lord's Day, but every day. We must always ask ourselves questions relative to where we're going in life, relative to our salvation. We should always ask ourselves, what do we have as Christians? Certainly we have a crown of belief in one way. In another way, we have we're wearing a figurative crown of salvation. But here John says, hold fast that which thou hast, your hope, your knowledge, the wisdom that you have from God, your belief and your hope, and guard it and don't ever let it go. And he warns Christians that no man take your crown. There is a crown awaiting for all those believers that are faithful up unto death or up till judgment day. There is a crown of everlasting life awaiting all those that are glad or will be glad to see Jesus coming in the clouds. It's something that we should always be mindful of and always keep our eye on the crown that is awaiting us if we are faithful to the end. In the Bible, the crown is mentioned over 60 times in the Old and in the New Testaments. Some of the crowns are royal crowns worn by kings like Saul, David, and Solomon. Some are holy crowns, like those worn by high Levitican priests, such as Aaron. There are also crowns of glory and crowns of blessings, as when one is exalted and blessed in life, as was King Solomon and even Job before the time of the trials that fell upon him when he was tempted of Satan. And then there also are crowns of honor. Many of the crowns mentioned in the Bible are literal, tangible crowns. Tangible meaning that you can reach out and you can touch them. And then there are others that are figurative and intangible ones. Ones that you cannot touch, but they represent something. They are figurative of something. Ask yourself this question. Today, are you wearing any crowns? Remember, there are crowns that are corruptible and crowns that are incorruptible. Do you want to wear the crown that matters most? These are some ideas I wish to pass your way this morning, but before we do, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Won't you humble yourselves as we approach our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Crowns are an ornament of many things. They were originally woven as a garland of oak or ivy, parsley, myrtle, olive, during the games. The Olympiads over in Greece, they wove such items to make a crown, and they gave that as a prize for those that won the Olympiad games. There were many over time. There were many imitations of this oak and ivory woven as crowns. They were made or overlaid in gold. In the history of crowns, we find that they were made out of silk, portions of silk that were used as a crown. They currently have evolved into an elaborate style that is usually made of precious metals like gold, and they are set with precious gems and precious stones within them. A crown, let us remember, can be a token of public honor as well, for distinguished service, for an organization, military prowess, for those that are sharing their nuptials, a very joyous time when people get married, and festival gladness. There are two nouns translated crown in the Greek New Testament. There are a few in the Old, but in the New Testament there are two. The first being Stephanos. Vine says it's primarily that which surrounds as a wall or crowd. From Stepho, S-T-E-P-H-O, from Stepho to encircle, denotes the victor's crown, a symbol of triumph in the games or some contest. Garlands of victory, a reward or a prize. Often involved with crown, Stephanos, is the idea of a benefit, a victory, and being triumphant, as we shall see. In Philippians 3, in verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Paul presses towards that prize, getting that crown of eternal life, getting that prize of an eternal home with God in heaven. It's a prize that we should all press towards. It's a mark that we should have our eyes on. Every believer, every Christian, should be seeking that prize. We know that the Bible tells us that the things and the treasures here in this earth rust and corrupt, and that we should put our heavenly prizes, our thoughts, and the way we live our life and the things that we desire, may they be and always be of a heavenly nature. The second Greek word for crown is diadema. It is never used as Stephanos, and it is always the symbol of kingly or imperial dignity. And it is translated diadem instead of crown in the King James Revised Version. Crowns were made, as mentioned earlier, from white silk. They were about 2 or 3 inches broad, and they were sewn with pearls and other gems, and they were bound around the head and tied in the back. If you'd seen pictures of that in like the some of the movies, Indiana Jones, that those individuals over in Arabia had such silk cloths that were wrapped around their heads, the kings and princes, and usually there was a big gem or several gems in the center of their forehead. It is these crowns here that were made of white silk. Speaking of the crowns on the claims of the dragon, we find in a couple verses in Revelation, the first one in the 12th chapter, 3rd verse, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns, that is, diadems, upon their heads. And in 13 verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, that is, diadems, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Here we have a depiction of who Satan is, and who the dragon is, and the power that he has. Certainly he has imperial dignity amongst evil. Certainly he is the head of the evil world, but of course there's no way of there's no there's he's never going to remain that way when Jesus finally defeats him come judgment day. He will lose his stature. But we see here that he leads the world of darkness. And secondly, here we find in Revelations the 19th chapter, verses 11 through 13, where the word is also used and is used speaking of the conquest, speaking of the stature and the conquest of Jesus Christ. Revelations 19, 11 through 13. And I saw heaven open to behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, that is, diadems, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Christ's diadem comprises all the diadems of the earth, and of course of heaven, of heavenly powers as well. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is King of all nations, so it is only fitting he wear many crowns. Diadem, remember, diadema is a symbol of kingly or imperial dignity. First this morning, I'd like to speak of a figurative crown, and the first one is a crown of wisdom and understanding. There are crowns of earthly wisdom, we know, and earthly understanding, and they are set against the crowns of godly wisdom and godly understanding. In Proverbs 1, 7 and 8, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Here in the Old Testament, this word for crown is from Livia, meaning an ornament, something attached, a wreath. And it's used this, and another word for crown is atara in the Old Testament that means crown, and that's found over in Proverbs the fourth chapter, starting in verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, as she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now we are speaking of the great godly wisdom that God wishes to give to us. If we ask for it, we desire it in prayer, we are to get the understanding. We need godly wisdom in order to understand the many things that we find in the Scriptures. It is our duty as Christians to always pray for wisdom and the understanding, so when we read His Word, we can more and more understand His will, knowing that after we get this godly wisdom, this great wisdom and understanding from our God, our Creator, our Lord, that we are to keep it and embrace it, because it will guide us in this life. If we lose it, we lose our path. We end up being confused and deceived by the wisdom of men. So it behooves us as Christians to take the admonitions here we find in Proverbs of getting as much wisdom as we can. And we can only get that from our Lord and our Maker. True wisdom is from God. It is not found in human philosophy. There are many that get all confused and involved in human philosophy. We know where many of those individuals are usually in careers of science in that nature, where they get so involved in the items and things of science that they completely lose sight of God as being the creator of this universe and such. And we know what stems from that human philosophy and wisdom is the erroneous thoughts of evolutionism and the Big Bang Theory and what have you and other such foolishness that we know. It doesn't stand up against the Bible. That is a perfect example today of the results of human philosophy and human wisdom. Man thinking he knows things more and better than God, but we know that true wisdom is always from God, and it is to Him that we must pray and continue to ask for that great wisdom each and every day. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Without the great wisdom that we get from God, we are not going to walk worthy of the Lord and please Him. We need the Word of God to walk worthy. We need the great knowledge and the wisdom from that Word to walk right and to please the Lord. Without the great wisdom and knowledge of God that's found in the Holy Scriptures, especially the New Testament, we're not going to be fruitful in our works upon this earth. If we're not going to read the Word of God, of course, we're not going to increase in that great knowledge that He has for us, and it's waiting on them great pages in the Holy Scriptures. God is the only one who can give you a crown of wisdom and understanding. Man, of course, can give you a crown of manly and earthly wisdom and earthly and manly understanding. But of course, let us remember those crowns rust, those crowns corrupt, those crowns cause our minds and our hearts to go down the wrong paths and to violate the rules and commandments of God. Next, there's also a crown of joy and rejoicing. Yes, well, we can wear crowns of joy and crowns of rejoicing today. Of course, we know if we are faithful unto the death and we are ushered into heaven, that crown of everlasting life that we would be given is certainly can be considered a crown of joy and a crown of rejoicing. Certainly, it will be a very happy day, full of rejoicing, when one receives that crown of everlasting life. We can, in a matter of speaking, wear crowns of joy and rejoicing here upon this earth, not following the things of this world, but of course following the things of God, and living our lives as we've been instructed in by the New Testament scriptures to live our good Christian life in quiet and peaceness and in peace and obeying the laws of the land and just being good citizens of this earth. First, there's a wonderful crown when one has an excellent wife. Certainly, the crown of an excellent wife is certainly a crown of joy. In Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Psalms 128:3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. It is when a husband has an excellent wife, has a God-fearing wife, a loving wife, certainly that man wears a crown of joy, because there are many many men in this world that do not or have not an excellent wife that's God-fearing and submissive and loving, and certainly a baptized believer, a Christian. A man that has an excellent wife, certainly he is wearing a crown of joy and rejoicing today. The wife certainly can be a great asset to the husband. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. When a husband has a wife, such as this, has a virtuous wife, he indeed is wearing a crown of joy. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19:14, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. The Lord wants you to wear a crown of joy, and we must follow him and do his will in order to wear one. It's also a crown of assurance and a crown of joy for salvation in Jesus Christ. Every believer in Jesus Christ, everyone that has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, is certainly wearing a crown of assurance of everlasting life. They are wearing a crown of joy for the salvation that they found in Jesus Christ, knowing that when they were baptized into a watery grave of baptism, all the sins they had ever committed are wiped clean. They were living life with a clear slate, so to speak, and it's great joy to know, and a great weight that has been lifted off one's shoulders when they're baptized for the remission of sins. Look at the example of the Ethiopian eunuch. We only need to use one example for this in Acts 8:39. Here it speaks what the eunuch's response was when Philip finished with him. Acts 8:39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Ethiopian eunuch, after having been baptized in a body of water, certainly he went on his way rejoicing. He went off wearing a crown of assurance of eternal life, obedient unto Jesus Christ to the end. He rode off in his chariot wearing a crown of the great joy that he received when he was saved by Jesus Christ. Christians wear a crown of hope and patience. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Only Christians have that great hope of everlasting life, have that great hope, knowing that Jesus Christ is their advocate with the Father. When they slip and fall and sin, that Jesus steps in for them to the Holy Father, being their advocate, being their lawyer, so to speak. It's great to know that we have such an individual working on our behalf, and certainly Christians certainly wear a hope of patience, knowing that they can depend on the Lord if they're faithful and obedient. They know in the end that through their hard work and through their resisting the evil and being overcomers in this world, that they, through Jesus Christ, through the Scriptures, can get that patience they need to continue on through the trials and tribulations and continue to the end unwavering, knowing that they can get this and continue with this great hope and patience only when they're always active in prayer. Next, there's another crown called a silver-haired head crown. In Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. If older people remain in the way of righteousness, their age will be their honor. Old age is honorable and commands respect. If older people preserve their honor, if they hold fast onto their integrity, then their gray hairs are truly a crown to them. They are worthy of double honor. Grace is the glory of old age. In Proverbs 20 and 29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. There is honor in old age and respect, but there's double honor in old age and respect to those that are believers, for those that are great with the knowledge of the Word of God. They're great with the great wisdom comes from God, we know. Certainly there's nothing better than an elder, man or woman, in their older age that have been faithful members of the church that Jesus built, the church that Jesus shed his blood and died for. Certainly they are men and women of great esteem. They are ones that we should consult with and ask their opinions and consult with them. And if we have questions in life, certainly go to them. They're full of wisdom and knowledge, and they, of course, will never, never lead us astray. Leviticus 19 and 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Next, there's a crown of children's children. In Proverbs 17 and verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Of course, we know grandchildren offer us great joy, but they are also a great responsibility. When man and woman have grandchildren, certainly it is a great thing, seeing that our beloved children have children of our own. Certainly it's another opportunity for the grandparents, grandfather, and grandmother, especially those that are Christians, to help their children, train up their children. Another crown is the beloved and longed-for brethren crown. It's what Paul speaks of on many occasions, Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed-for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Here Paul states, as he does in most all his letters, that he is extremely happy for the brethren of like precious faith. He encourages them to remain strong and faithful. He says there's nothing more important than the salvation of their souls and for them to stay that way. Paul longs here, he says, to see them and longs to hear of word that they are still faithful despite all the enemies that are against them. His chief joy and crown of rejoicing is knowing this, which is more valuable than any earthly crown. Certainly when we hear word about the brethren throughout this country and in other lands that we've known that were faithful Christian years and years ago, and we hear of them or when we travel and we go to such places, and we end up meeting them again, or those that come and visit here, it is great to know, and it's happy to know, that they have all remained faithful. Certainly, it is very sad when we see brethren that fall away from this congregation and others, It is a sad day when a faithful member of the Church of Christ turns his back on the Lord and finds other things that interest them rather than coming to the services and remaining a faithful member of the body of Christ. And it's great to know when those people return and repent and come back. Certainly, it is great to know that we have many brethren that believe the way we do, using the New Testament scriptures to guide us that way, to show us how we are to worship, the Holy Scripture showing us how man should be saved. It's great to know that there are many that are of the same faith that preach the same thing amongst the world of lies and the things that go on in this world that lead many people astray. It is great to know that there are others that speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible are silent, not allowing human wisdom to interfere with the word that they need to teach and preach to others. It is great to know there are other faithful congregations in this world that preach Christ crucified and to edify, and their speeches and their teachings edify the hearers. It is great. That is a great crown that we have to wear, that we have for our other brethren, and it is a deep, profound love for the brethren, which is what Jesus Christ commanded us that we should have. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Certainly these are wonderful words to remember and to think about as we live our lives here upon this earth. The great joy and hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and the fellowship that we have with one another when we can help each other out to all remain faithful as a group. The next, there's a crown of suffering and shame, a crown of thorns. We find here in the New Testament on many verses that Jesus wore a crown of thorns. Mark 15:17, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. The Old Testament is filled with scriptures depicting the suffering and the cruelty that was placed upon our Savior. The New Testament speaks volumes of all the suffering, the terrible things that Jesus suffered for us. We see here that he wore wore a crown of thorns. Certainly he did that for us. He wore that crown for us. He wore that crown of suffering and shame for us. Let us never forget that. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We as believers in Jesus Christ can also wear crowns of suffering and shame. When we do the right thing here in this world, and those that are not believers in Jesus Christ, those that are lost in the world, they seem to make fun and ridicule and mock righteous individuals, that Christians in this world that are looking to do the right thing. There are many times in business and in our lives that a believer will do a certain thing and get rebuked by others. But that person is just being honest, returning monies that someone maybe, for instance, overpaid them, or things of such nature. The evil that is in the world certainly will always jump on the opportunity in the time when a Christian is doing the right thing, and they somewhat suffer for it, ridiculed and made shamed in front of people, but. The Christian knows better, is smiling inside, knowing he's done the right thing, and the Lord looks favorably on that type of character. 1 Peter 3:14, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter 4:6, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So yes, just as Jesus wore a crown of suffering and shame, we are told that we would suffer in this world as well. And we are told if we suffer for righteousness' sake, be happy about it. Don't be disgruntled. Don't be afraid of what others may say or do to you. Don't be troubled because you're doing the right thing. Lastly, there's a righteous incorruptible crown of victory and triumph. As we know, a crown can stand for triumph. In Revelation 6 and 2, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Revelations 14 and 14, "And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Jesus Christ is always depicted as wearing crowns of victory and crowns of triumph. Certainly they are incorruptible crowns that he offers us. He himself wearing one. And if we remain faithful unto death, we will receive such a crown. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 25, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and an incorruptible." Speaking again of the games, of the Olympiad over in Greece, Paul speaks of those runners, those people in the games that run that race, that contest, to receive a prize. That prize was a corruptible crown. There are many today that run this the race in their careers, their jobs, the things that they do in this life. They run that race looking for that corruptible crown of pride, that corruptible crown of greed, that corruptible crown certainly of evil. Things that do not matter when it comes down to it. We should be striving and running that race to receive that crown that is incorruptible. Christians do not strive for crowns of pride or crowns of position of power. They strive for crowns that are incorruptible in the heavens. It is also a righteous crown, 2 Timothy 4 and 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Christians will love the appearance of Jesus Christ in that day, at Judgment Day. Their work, the results of all their work in the vineyard of the Lord will finally pay off. They will receive a crown of righteousness, which the Lord personally will give each one of those that are obedient unto death. He's the righteous judge, and he has crowns of righteousness awaiting all those that will love his appearing. 1 Peter 5 and 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." This wonderful righteous crown is also a crown of glory. We know that our bodies will be transformed into an immortal state, bodies that are fit for glory, bodies that are fit for everlasting life. Glory that fades not away. The things of man in this earth fade away, they rust, they corrupt, they fade away, but the crown that we should be striving for will not fade away. And of course we know it is a crown of life. James 1 and 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." That is our prize, that is our goal, this wonderful crown of life, this righteous crown that fades not away, this wonderful crown of righteousness, one that is Jesus, that Jesus is wearing today, and he promises to give to us if we are obedient unto him. Revelations 2 and 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Here's a promise from Jesus Christ, our Savior, who's wearing many crowns at this time, seated at the right hand of God our Father. He makes this promise that he will give us a crown of life, dependent upon our faithfulness unto death. In conclusion, there will be an ultimate crown provided for those who overcome this world, a crown of everlasting life. In the text again, Revelations 3 and 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." There are many out there, Satan one of them, leading the pack, that wish to take that crown from you. Be wary of who you hear things from and where and what is said. Use the New Testament scriptures to verify what is said as being correct and true to the Word of God. Don't be deceived. Hold on to your faith. Watch the truth. Guard the truth. Hold that which you know true to your heart. The apostles' doctrine, the words of Jesus, the New Testament scriptures. Hold them close to your heart. Always read them, study them, pray to God for the great wisdom and knowledge so you can learn more of His will, that no thing could deceive you that would cause you to stumble or fall, because if that happens, Satan has won and he has taken that crown that that is planned for you away. As always, in all our services, we always offer an opportunity for those that may have been moved by the Word of God before coming here or even here, thoughts of salvation, thoughts of this crown that might have instilled them to make that step. Jesus Christ Himself has given us the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ, who's wearing those great crowns, who's offering us a crown of everlasting life, said in John 3 and 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We are told to believe. We are also instructed by Jesus Christ, our advocate with the Father, who sitteth on the right hand of God right now at this very moment, wearing the crowns of victory, offering a crown of everlasting life, if we repent. Luke 13 and 3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And in Matthew 10 and 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus Christ Himself said in Mark 16 and 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." These are the steps of salvation given to us by our Savior, the one who died for us, the one who was on the cross of Calvary that shed His blood. He said, "These things we must do, a sinner must do, in order to be saved, in order to receive a crown of everlasting life." If there be one, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?